We're glad to bring you this message from Love Worth Finding Ministries with Adrian Rogers. We trust you'll be blessed as you apply these biblical truths to your daily life.
Find in God's Word, please, Philippians chapter 4. And in a few moments, we're going to begin reading in verse 4. They put on cigarette packages that smoking may be hazardous to your health. And I want to tell you, dear friend, that wrong thinking can also be hazardous to your health. And so tonight we're going to find out if you have been guilty of bad thinking, depression, self-pity, worry, fear, anger, and all of these many things. You say, well, preacher, what do you know about it anyway? I mean, you've always had it easy all your life. You've never had any problems, so who are you to tell me about these things? Well, the truth of the matter is, I want to tell you what someone else said. His name was Paul, and what he wrote in a slimy hole called the Mamertine Prison, as a sufferer and a prisoner for preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, okay? And I want you to hear what the Apostle Paul had to say, and I begin in verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Who said that? Paul. When did he say it? In prison. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing. That is, don't worry about a single thing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now remember, we're talking about controlling your thought life. The peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep. And the word keep means guard, shall guard your thoughts, your hearts, your minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Now the Bible says, as a man thinketh, so is he. And I want to show you today how to guard your thought life. Now, you have to have some sort of a standard to know what kind of thoughts that you can allow into your mind and what kind of thoughts you can say no trespassing to. But Paul, when he's getting ready to give this standard, first of all, he just builds sort of a context in which you can do what I'm talking about. And let me give you three or four things that he says just to set the stage. He says, first of all, in verse 4, that you're to find your joy in the Lord. Now, he doesn't say rejoice always. That would be silly if he just said that. But it's not silly when he says rejoice in the Lord always. Rejoice in the Lord. Find your joy in the Lord. Every Christian who is controlling his thought life will have a conscious joy. He'll have a continual joy. And he will have a conspicuous joy. And he'll have a contagious joy if he finds his joy in the Lord. Jesus said in John 15, verse 11, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. By the way, it's only joy in him that remains. If you get your joy any other place, something can take it away. I'm glad Paul didn't get his joy in his freedom, because if he got his joy in his freedom, he wouldn't have had it when he was in prison. Don't get your joy out of circumstance. Don't get your joy out of amusements. Don't get your joy out of business. Don't get your joy out of your friends. Don't get your joy out of your health only. Those things can give you joy, well and good. But don't let them be the ultimate source of your joy. Rejoice in the Lord always. Joy in Him is full and it is complete. Now the second thing, we're just setting the stage now. Find your joy in the Lord, okay? We're talking about how to have a healthy mental attitude. Secondly, always remember that God is near. Always remember that God is near. Recognize His presence continually. Look, if you will, in verse 5 now. Let your moderation be known unto all men. the Lord is at hand. Now, he doesn't mean that Jesus is coming soon. He is coming soon, but that's not what he meant by that. What he meant by that is, hey, he's right here with me in this prison cell. The Lord is at hand. Jesus said, I will pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever. And the way to have a healthy mental attitude is to find your joy in the Lord and to constantly practice the presence of the Lord. You see, when you can do this, then the wonderful thing about it is that your problems are his problems. Paul said, I'm here in prison, but so is the Lord. Jesus didn't come to get you out of trouble. He came to get into trouble with you. Isn't that wonderful? And Paul said, well, I'm in prison, but he's in here too. Jesus is here with us. All right, now, the third thing. First of all, just find your joy in the Lord. Secondly, recognize his constant presence. Thirdly, just refuse to worry about anything. Look in verse 6. Be careful for nothing. Now, this word careful here, the Greek word means to be pulled apart. That's exactly what worry does. Worry just pulls you apart. Over here is fear and over here is hope, and you're just being pulled between the two. Paul says, hey, don't worry about anything. You know what Jesus said about worry? Jesus said it's worthless. No one can add a cubit to a stature by worry. Worry never solved a problem, lifted a burden, dried a tear. It's worthless. But not only is it worthless, it's wasteful. It just takes energy that doesn't do any good. If it's worthless, it's bound to be wasteful. Worry doesn't take the sorrow out of tomorrow. It takes the strength out of today. It's just pulling tomorrow's clouds over today's sunshine. But not only is it worthless and is it wasteful, it's wicked. Jesus said, after these things do the Gentiles seek. And these are the things that pagans think about. Why, don't be like them. God watches over. So Paul here, he's getting ready now to tell us how to guard our thought life, but he's just setting the stage and he's just giving us an atmosphere. Just find your joy in the Lord. Recognize that he's present with you. Refuse to worry about a single thing. You say, well, how do you do that? Well, he goes on to tell us how to do that in verse 6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Bring every need to God in prayer. Every need. Now, surely we ought to pray about the big things. Do you have anything that you really think is a big problem? I want you to think about the biggest problem you can think of right now. I mean the absolute bigness. You got the biggest problem in your life right now? Got it in your mind? All right, now double it. Make it twice as big. Now is it in your mind? Now I want to ask you a question. Is that big to God? See it in the light of God. Well, surely then you can pray about the big things. What about the little things? You know, the danger is not that we fail to pray about the big things. The danger is that we fail to pray about the little things. He says, in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. All right, now next. Not only bring every need to God, verse 6, but develop a thankful spirit. All of this is just getting you ready now to check these thoughts at the door, whether or not you're going to let them into your heart and in your mind. Just a thankful spirit. Notice again, be careful for nothing, but in everything, pray about everything, and thank God for everything with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God. You know, sometimes we complain when we ought not to complain. I was sitting in an automobile with a man. We were driving cross country, and I had all of my children were in private school. Some were in college, and some were in Christian school. And boy, Joyce and I were just paying out the money. I was dying of maltuition, and I was complaining a little bit to this man, and I was talking to him about the great cost of sending a son to college, and he looked at me. He said, I'd give anything in the world if my son would go to college. I thought, oh, what an ungrateful spirit I had. He had a son that was rebellious. You ever complain about dirty dishes? You know, there are lots of folks in Bangladesh who'd like to have some dirty dishes. Did you know that? I mean, the dirty dishes are a sign that you've had something to eat. Listen, in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Now, all of that, he just sets the stage. He sets the stage now to tell you how to guard your thought life. Kind of like going to the airport and you have to pass through that security gate. And that security gate has a sensor on it. And there's certain things that are contraband. There are certain things that you are not to let through. Now, the Apostle Paul also gives us a checklist, and I want you to look at them right now in verse 8, and we'll get right into the heart of the message. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. All right, now here are the tests as to whether or not you will admit anything into your mind. First of all is what I want to call the reliance test. The reliance test. Is it true? Can you bank on it? Can you rely on it? Whatsoever things are true. Do you know that we live in a generation today that doesn't ask, is it true? We ask, does it work? Don't let anything come into your thought life, consciously dwell there. Don't absorb it into your heart, into your philosophy. Don't dwell on it. Don't let it be a part of your thought patterns if it is not true. And of course, the Bible is the prime source of truth. Now, secondly, not only the reliance test, but the respect test. Second question, is it honest? Whatsoever things are true. And then he says, whatsoever things are honest. Now, the word honest here literally means honorable. Things that are honorable. Do you let dishonorable things get into your mind? Are there things that are not really worthy of your respect? Things that are not worthy to occupy your time. Some things are not bad because they're vile. They're bad because they are inane. Just silly, stupid, and not worth it. All right, here's the third thing. Not only the reliance test and not only the respect test, but the rightness test. Whatsoever things are just. And the word just here means straight as opposed to crooked. Don't let any crooked thinking come into your mind. Do you think straight? Do you think on a straight line? In my Bible study and in my preaching and in my devotional life, I try to think in a straight line. I think many of us let things that are crooked come in. I mean, we don't lay down a measuring rod by what we do. We just kind of go this way and that way a little bit. Now, Paul says that there are certain things that are not to get through the gate. Anything that is unreliable, disrespectful, or not right should not come through the gate. The rightness test. Is it right? Now, here's one. He mentions also whatsoever things are pure. Now, the word pure here means free of contamination. And what it was used for was to say, is this animal or is this object, is it good enough, is it pure enough to be used in worship? That is, could it be offered to God? So the next test is what I call the reverence test, whatsoever things are pure. That is this something that I would not be ashamed to offer to the Lord? Could I take this story? Could I take this movie? Could I take this friendship? And could I say, Lord, I worship you with it? Well, you say you're not supposed to worship God with everything. Oh, no. You are supposed to worship God with everything. The Bible says whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Is this relationship a relationship I could say, Lord, I offer to you? I just offer it to you, just this good time, just this joy, just this beauty. I offer it, Lord, to you. It is pure. It is worthy. Anything that you're doing that cannot pass the reverence test, that is, that you could not offer up to God any relationship, any activity, any meal, any recreation, any business deal, don't let it into your mind. And then, next of all, the relationship test. He says, whatsoever things are lovely. Now, the word lovely here doesn't mean beautiful, but it literally means in the Greek language, causing you to love. Does it cause you to love? If there's something that comes into your mind that causes you to criticize unjustly, or brings division between human beings, it is wrong. This word lovely is a combination of two words which actually means toward love. Toward love. Does this thought move you to love? The relationship test. And then finally, the refinement test. Look, if you will, here as he goes on to say, whatsoever things are lovely, and then whatsoever things are of good report. Actually, this word means things that are high-toned. High-toned. That means that it sounds good. It is refined. You know, I think gossip is a form of insanity. Really. I'll tell you why I think it's a form of insanity. I've never met a gossip who knew they were a gossip. And this is what they say. They say, you know me, I don't gossip. And then they start to gossip. Well, if a person's doing something and they don't know they're doing it, I think they must have rooms to rent upstairs, unfurnished. It's a form of insanity. They love to listen to things that are not of good report. People use their ears for garbage cans. They say, you know, I don't know why people always come and tell me these things. I know why they tell you those things. They know you want to hear them. They know that you will allow them to track mud on the carpet of your mind. They know that. And if you're one who has all the latest news about everything, you know those kind of folks? I mean, buddy, if it's bad, they've got it. I mean, it just comes to them. And, you know, they say, well, you know, I don't start all these rumors, just the ones I tell them to. They're the ones that start them. But the refinement test, these are things that you ought to put up at the gate of your mind and do not allow them to come in. Now, Paul is finally, he's running out of time. He's already said finally, like some preachers, but he doesn't mean immediately. And so, and then he just kind of wraps it up and he says, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Now, folks, it is so simple and it is so wonderful. You can absolutely take back that conquered ground. And you can say, I'm only going to let these thoughts in my mind. And you don't have to think on anything you don't want to think on. But now listen, you must be thinking something. You cannot control your thought life by keeping your mind in neutral. You will think something. And if you're not thinking something right, you're going to think something wrong. If you're not thinking something good, you're going to think something bad. Try not to think of a submarine right now. Are you sure you're not thinking about a submarine right now? Amen. All right. The only way not to think about a submarine is not by trying not to think about a submarine, but by thinking about something else. And people who are trying not to think about submarines are thinking about the submarines they're trying not to think about. Isn't that right? Sure. You see, the Bible says, be not overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. Just let these thoughts come into your mind and just keep your hearts and minds stayed on Him. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on Thee. We have the mind of Christ. Learn to think God's thoughts after Him. And use Paul's standard here in Philippians 4 as the grid through which everything must come before it finds lodging in your mind.
Do you know the Jesus Adrian Rogers spoke about? You can know abundant, eternal life through Jesus Christ right now. Say yes to Jesus. Ask Him to save you. Fully trust in Christ today. You might pray something like this. Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner, and my sin deserves judgment, but You died to pay the penalty for my sin. So I repent of those sins now, Lord. I ask You to forgive me. Come into my life. Make me a new person in You. Thank You for saving me, Jesus, and help me to live for You from now on. Amen. And today, if you give your life to Christ, you'll want to learn how to walk with Him each day. We want to help you with materials that will encourage and strengthen you as a new believer. Just write us at Love Worth Finding, Box 38600, Memphis, Tennessee, 38183. In Canada, you can write us at P.O. Box 152, Maple Ridge, B.C., V2X7G1.
And if you have more questions about what it means to begin a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, visit our website, lwf.org. Click on the Discover Jesus link on our homepage for more information. If you'd like additional copies of this message or information about other resources, just visit our online bookstore or call 1-800-274-5683. Thank you, and may God richly bless you.